there are various ways in which development management is very, very different from business management, because it responds to the unique vision, the unique challenges, the unique goals, the unique ecosystem, and the unique set of stakeholders that the social sector or the development sector works with and works towards.
So at a very fundamental level, it would be unethical if you don't have participative processes and you have, you know, top-down processes. So even the way you would look at management decisions, whether it is behavior change, whether it is talent management, whether it is managing projects and people, we will constantly have to bring these notions of ethics and values when you're talking about it in the development management space.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals, and philanthropists who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little joys of life and work. Unusual Suspect streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. In this episode, we dive into understanding how the social sector landscape is transforming through a strong focus on collaboration and advancing the public good. We unpack how a new generation is being equipped and empowered with both purpose and practical skills by professionalizing development management to drive impactful social change across the country. I have with me Ravi Sridharan. Ravi is the president and co-founder of the Indian School of Development Management, ISDM, bringing together over 25 years of global corporate leadership and deep experience in education and social impact after a transition from HSBC to the Azim Premji Foundation. I have Gaurav Shah also with me. Gaurav is the director and co-founder of the Indian School of Development Management, ISDM, with a rich track record leading transformational work across the private and development sectors, spanning microfinance, health, impact, investment, and education. Welcome, Ravi and Gaurav. Delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gaurav.
Thank you.
Ravi, you know, let me start with you. You transitioned from a long and accomplished corporate career to take on a very crucial leadership role in the social sector with the Azim Premji Foundation. What was the inspiration behind it? What inspired you to step into this world? Because from corporate to this kind of a role must have involved a fair degree of a mindset change too, isn't it? And why do you believe there is such a pressing need for dedicated management program focused specifically on the social sector? And how does it differ from traditional business management?
Thank you, Gaurav. So, you know, I worked 23 years in the corporate world. And of course, I came from an era where you started working when your father retired. And thanks to liberalization, we all had global careers and we did exceptionally well. And, you know, I was heading a regional, you know, sort of business practice by the time I was in my late 30s. I was a CEO by the time I was 45. So, you know, the boxes got ticked very, very fast over there. And the money was not bad at all. But during all this time, and you know, one had one's own background was in a middle class family, and you know, fortunate to have got some good school education, and somewhere one started beginning to realize that one was in some ways a beneficiary of an Ovarian lottery. You know, that a lot of what you could achieve was because of where you were born. That seemed like a very unfair thing to me, at least when I was thinking about it at that time. And this thought kept nagging me, and you know, obviously you would see very bright people either working in your home or in the shops you go to, or in, you know, small, you know, cobblers and tailors and what have you. So this thought of you know, why is the world so unfair? Why, what can one do so that people have better opportunities, kept gnawing at me. And then eventually I was the president of a roundtable when I was 39. And we did a project to raise funds for a school for migrant workers, children in the outskirts of Bangalore. And we did it. It was, you know, it's a fun stuff that friends got together and did. And we built this amazing school. And Gaurav, after that, every time I try to reflect on what is it that made me happy over the last few years, none of my corporate successes, bonuses, national travel, golf, nothing came to my mind. It was just this project. And eventually I said, if that's what makes you so happy, then you should go do more of it. So I reached a point where we had enough money to keep away for 6 years of college education for the kids. And my wife and I decided to come back and work in the school education space in India. So that's how I ended up joining Azim Premji Foundation, where I got introduced to the CEO. And Azim Premji Foundation was by far the largest foundation working in school education and with the government schools across the country. And then it was an organic journey from there, Gaurav, because, you know, working at Azim Premji Foundation, one got to work, you know, the length and breadth of the country. And as I always say, we worked in villages in the deserts of Barmer to the hills of Uttarkashi to the forests of Dhamtari. And that experience was hugely humbling. When you come as a CEO of a bank in an international arena, you come with a lot of arrogance. And then you realize, you know, when you see a small head teacher, a lady working in a, you know, in a remote village with such limited resources, with complex eco-societal pressures, etc., and doing unbelievable work, it's hugely, hugely humbling. And one kept seeing amazing people doing amazing work across this country time and time again. Somewhere along the way, I decided that I wanted to go and work in a village. So I took off from my Azim Premji Foundation and went to work in a village, in a school in a remote village in Kerala. And that was even more humbling, because when the rubber hits the road and you actually have to deal with, you know, problems in your hand, none of these policies and, you know, fancy things that we write in our, you know, education policies matter. And one realized that, you know, this is a very, very different ballgame. And during all this, the one thing that kept coming back to us at Azim Premji Foundation, which is where I met Gaurav Shah, was that there were amazing people doing amazing work in this country for a better society, for a better planet, but almost to a definition didn't know how to build organizations and scale the impact of the work they were doing. So our country is dotted with mini and micro NGOs across the country, and very, very, very few big ones. There are only 19 not-for-profit organizations that even have a 100 crore budget in a country like ours, where we should be having hundreds of organizations with, you know, 500 to 1,000 crore budgets. And we realized that the underlying problem was the inability to build, lead, manage organizations. And what we also realized is that willy-nilly, the social sector rejected management by saying that, you know, management was associated with business, and in their parlance, the idea was that management is the cause of all the problems, so don't tell us management can solve these problems. So we had to go through that process of explaining that management doesn't necessarily mean business management. There is management for business, there is management for the state, and there is management for, you know, the social sector or the development space. And then we researched the world. We went across, you know, to universities. We spoke to people in all continents and, you know, came back realizing that there wasn't any institution. There were many institutions, sorry, that were doing work in the not-for-profit management space, but they were either rooted in a business school trying to answer questions from a business mindset, or in public policy schools trying to address it from a public policy mindset. And we believe that this required a very different mindset, because the purpose is different, the resources are different, the constraints are different, the stakeholders are different. So we went off on this journey to figure out how do we build the third pillar of management for the third sector, right? So that's where we started this journey of building ISDM. And when we started, we knew that the sector needed a different type of management. When I say sector, I mean development work. It's not just the not-for-profit. It's even development work in the government. It could be development work in the corporates. But the mindset and approaches need to be very, very different. So we started this 10 years ago, knowing that you needed a different approach to management. Of course, you can learn a lot, you can adopt a lot, you can adapt a lot, but you have to eventually build a whole DNA for the space. After having done 10 years of work, we are only even more convinced that management for development is a very critical pillar that's got ignored by society since the Industrial Revolution. And it's almost the perfect time today, given the economic prosperity the world has seen, which is unprecedented. We believe this is the best time to build development management and make management as a scaffolding for development work to make a difference to billions of people in the country and the world.
Absolutely, Ravi. You know, Gaurav, I'll come to you. And Ravi talked about the third pillar, which is civil society is sometimes described as the crucial third pillar alongside government and business. And Ravi did allude to it. Could you explain what this third pillar really means in the context of development management? What is your perspective on this? And in that light, how does development management equip and empower professionals to tackle the complex realities faced by civil society organizations, NGOs, impact funds, and public agencies? Gaurav?
Thanks, Gaurav. So if you look at the way civilization has progressed over the last 100, maybe 150 years, the government has actually emerged as the space which has put in place building blocks of the world and society as we know it. So health, education, poverty, etc., etc. But the government exists for all. It really doesn't exist, or maybe doesn't have the capability to exist to represent the interests of specific segments of society. Business, on the other hand, has been the economic engine of growth for the world, and whether it wants to or not, really has started representing the interests of those who are a part of mainstream society, those who have money and or a voice in society. So who represents the interests of those who don't have a voice in society and who live on the margins of society? And I think that's where the social sector really kicks in. And it's the only sector which, in a dedicated manner, singularly, exclusively exists to represent the needs and the interests and the voice of those who live on the margins, which is why the social sector as the third pillar is very, very important in many ways. And I cannot overstate this. It serves as the social conscience of the world that we live in today. What is the social sector all about? I've spent now 16 odd years in this space, and I realize that it's very, very hard to talk about the sector and explain what we do in mainstream society, because people have many, many misconceptions and stereotypes about the sector. For example, people think that the sector is this really small, this local, volunteer-driven, only driven by passion, very simplistic space. And I couldn't say it more forcefully that the reality is very, very different. So the social sector is a space which today in India contributes to the well-being of at least 70 to 80 crore people every year. 70 to 80 crore people, maybe more, in this country every year. There are at least 2 to 3 lakh active organizations employing anywhere between a crore and a couple of crore people full time, working on the most complex issues facing humanity. Whether it's providing health and basic primary health care for all, primary education for all, working on issues of poverty, of patriarchy, of gender rights, of issues of, child sexual abuse, domestic violence, climate change, skilling, financial inclusion, nutrition, hunger, and I could go on and on. And this is a sector which every year manages close to $15 to $20 billion of just private philanthropy, which comes into this space and is in a position to influence close to $250 to $300 billion of government money, which is spent every year on issues of social change just in India. So this is the sector which we call the third pillar, the third sector. It's huge. It's very, very important. And a sector of this size and importance definitely needs and deserves its own brand, its own mantra of management. For most people, the idea of management is foreign and alien to the social sector because of the stereotype and because of how they look at the sector. And, you know, but once you realize the full scope and the size and the magnitude and the importance of the space, I think it's a no-brainer that this space needs management. But what kind of management, and is management in the social sector really very different? So there are many, many ways that development management needs to be different from more conventional business management. For example, business management exists to serve the needs of a small group of people called investors. So short-term profit maximization for investors is really the goal of business management. Development management needs to exist to create longer-term value for a wider collection of stakeholders, including the planet. The idea of business management is based on the holy grail of competition. And really, you know, and both Ravi and I are students of business management. Ever since we joined business school, we've always taught and told to compete. And that was really the way to get to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Development management, on the other hand, needs to exist to collaborate. So the holy grail and the fundamental principle is not competition, but collaboration. Because there is no social issue which exists in silos. So if I want to work on creating, on improving the education system and creating good quality learning outcomes, guess what? I will need to work on not just the school infrastructure and the toilet infrastructure, but also capability of teachers and head teachers and the curriculum and textbooks and teaching learning materials and get parents involved and get the community involved. And this is just related to education. But I will also need to work on the education of the parents, on the health status of the child, on sanitary conditions that they live in, on livelihoods for the family, thereby food that the child gets, etc. So none of this can be solved by one individual, one institution, one sector. And unless we learn to collaborate and not compete, we will not be able to create irreversible change in the lives of people. So really, principle number two. Third, business management is based on the idea of competitive advantage, unique selling proposition, largely based on the idea of intellectual property. So what's mine is mine, and I will use it to create larger market share for myself. Development management needs to be based on the principle of knowledge commons. So what I create is not just mine, but has to be shared by every, you know, with by us, with everyone in the sector, so that impact at scale can be created and so that genuine change in lives can be delivered. And the idea of success in business management is to increase market share by maintaining dependence of customers on us. The idea of success in development management is really to create agency and independence in the people we work with so that they are no longer dependent on us, thereby creating redundance for the social sector over a period of time. So there are, and I can go on, but Gaurav, I'll stop here for now. And there are various ways in which development management is very, very different from business management because it responds to the unique vision, the unique challenges, the unique goals, the unique ecosystem, and the unique set of stakeholders that the social sector or the development sector works with and works towards.
Indeed. Ravi, you know, in development management, people often talk about the importance of working together and leading with strong values. The whole concept of teamwork and ethical leadership matters so much here, especially when compared to the way typical businesses focus mainly on making profit. So from a profit maximization attitude, you are probably getting into a very solutions-driven mindset. How do these differences change the way development managers do their work and help communities, Ravi?
Yes, Gaurav. So firstly, you know, I hesitate to say business is not ethical and, you know, development is ethical. And I'm sure you also didn't mean it in that way. But even for your audience, I just wanted to make that point. It's the notion of what is ethical. And in some ways, Gaurav was talking about some of those points. So, for example, when I work in business, and I worked in HSBC for many years, I am working for a certain stakeholder group. I want to maximize, you know, the market cap or the shareholder value of my shareholders and stuff like that. And the ethics are defined by the laws of the land, the expectations of your customers, of your investors, and things like that. So it's a closed system within which the ethics are defined. Whereas in development management, it's an open system. By that, I mean, if I'm working with children, let's say, to improve their education levels. Now, I can do that by caning the children and, you know, getting them to score high on standardized tests. But what would I end up doing? I would end up creating very bad adults, you know, who may have all sorts of wrong ideas when they grow up. So ethics here is much more an open system, right? So you have to think of ethics not only in what you're doing, but what are the downstream impact, what are the side stream impact, what are the hearsay impact of everything that you're doing. And the second thing is that when you talk about values, the values somewhere underpin what defines the framework for a good society. And we you know, use this phrase at ISDM called universal human values. Some of these values are universal, right? Whether it is going back to some of the political ideas of liberty, equality, fraternity, or more, you know, interpersonal ideas of being fair, being respectful, etc. Our belief is that you can't be doing work in that space and run your organization contrary to all those values that you're talking about. And the second is, whatever intervention you have to do, you have to build those values into the choices that you make, into the structures you create, into the decisions you take, and so on and so forth. So how do you work with the community who, if you start working with them as if you are here to help them because they are poorer, they are weaker, they are less capable, then you've created an unequal structure fundamentally. So when we work in the space, when we talk about values, when we talk about ethics, it's very intrinsic to our work and it's very open system in the sense that it's not restricted to only the here and now choices, but it's also for the forever, for the future, for the, you know, nearby and so on and so forth. In business, I may not worry about that. If the law says that I'm allowed to pollute up to X level, I will take my pollution level still X so that my costs don't go up. Whereas here, if I believe pollution is going to affect some weaker sections of society, then I will not, you know, sort of make those choices. So in many ways, ethics and values in the world of business is defined by a set of very definitive, what I call closed system norms. Whereas in development management, it's far more wider and open systems in the way we would look at values and ethics in the space. And ideas that Gaurav talked about, right, of things like participation, right? You're not being ethical if you're not involving the communities in the choices that are made, being made for their lives. So how do you involve them? Now, they may not be as well educated as you, but they have a lot more understanding of their lives, their problems, their situations, and so on and so forth. So at a very fundamental level, it would be unethical if you don't have participative processes and you have, you know, top-down processes. So even the way you would look at management decisions, whether it is behavior change, whether it is talent management, whether it is managing projects and people, we will constantly have to bring these notions of ethics and values when you're talking about it in the development management space.
Yes, absolutely. What types of career opportunities and sectors are there for skilled development management professionals to evolve as this field gains recognition and grows in scale?
So the sector over the last decade or so has really, really expanded. And I think the imagination of careers in the sector has really changed drastically and dramatically. So from an organizational lens, for example, most people just think of small local NGOs when they think of careers in the social sector. But the spectrum is large. So you can work in the government, and there are various ministries which are closely related to the work which happens in the sector, and they keep coming with opportunities for people to work in. You can work in funding foundations, both Indian, international. You can work in CSR. You can work in social sector consulting and research firms, and there are many, many such firms. And you can work in nonprofit organizations, local, national, and international, and across a variety of domains, from health to education to skilling to gender to livelihoods, rural development, climate, etc. There is also this increasing space of for-profit social enterprises where one can think of building careers. And besides all of this, one can think of becoming an entrepreneur and really building a social enterprise which can help solve for social issues and social problems. So this is one lens of looking at career. The other lens is through the nature of work that one can do. So one can, you know, build a career in academia and research and become knowledge creators in the social sector. One can, you know, become technical experts in the social space, thereby developing expertise in natural resource management or in primary health or in education or in gender, etc. This particular career is what we call social work. You can become policy experts, you know, and build a policy career. Or you could also build a management career. Just like in the business space, you have a variety of different careers. Social sector also gives you the ability to build a variety of different kinds of careers, and different higher educational opportunities are available to prepare yourselves for each of these careers. From masters in development studies kind of programs for research and academic careers, to a master's in social work for social work careers, to a master's in public policy and public administration for policy careers, and a master's in development management for management careers. Within the management space, there are a variety of different kinds of roles that one can really explore. So from management of organizations, to management of people, to management of money, to management of programs, to management of networks and partnerships, to management of impact, to management of knowledge, to management of technology for social change, to management of strategic communications, and narrative building and behavior change. So, I mean, the scope of opportunities that exist in the social sector today are tremendous, and truly, depending on where one comes from, what one seeks to do, and what are the skills that one really brings to the table, there is a sweet spot for everyone looking to work in this space. And really, I truly believe that that today in India, we need the brightest minds in this country to work on solving the most complex problems facing humanity. And I think once that starts happening, we will start becoming a more just, a more equitable, a more humane, and a more sustainable world for all.
Finally, Ravi and Gaurav, both to you first. Ravi, you may respond to it very briefly on as we march along to 2047, which is the 100th year of our independence. And there's a vision of becoming a developed and inclusive nation, which is a very right goal to have. And as a sustainable development goals guide global efforts on equity, health, and environment, how do you see development management evolving to meet these ambitious targets? Ravi, first you, then Gaurav.
Thanks, Gaurav, for asking this question, because it is such a critical piece in the way we are thinking about things at ISDM, because we believe that in the journey of Viksit Bharat, India by 2047 will become a $25 trillion plus economy. And if it goes at the same development spends of 8%, that's a $2 trillion development spend. And of course, significant amount is by the government, and a lot of it is from private philanthropy. But $2 trillion is the size of this entire country and annually. And I don't think this country has seen that sort of development capital available to it in the last millennium. And thereby, this is a window of opportunity that this country is having in front of it for the next 20, 25 years, which is unprecedented. And we can make a difference to the over billion lives in this country that, you know, deserve a better life. But for that to happen, we must be able to have professional talent to manage those development budgets. And by this, we mean management talent in the government, management talent in the not-for-profit space, in the social enterprise space, and even in the CSR and ESG space and things like that. So our view is that development management is a critical lever for this prosperity to translate into progress for all in this country. And if this development management doesn't saturate Samaj, Sarkar, and Bazaar, and it allows the money to just flow freely, we will create the most unequal country the world has seen. So it's mission mode from now for the next 20, 25 years. we need to bring development management, we need to bring the capital that Gaurav was talking about for managing development in this country. And if we succeed, we'll create the most amazing country this world has ever seen and become a role model for the entire global South. And unfortunately, it's not guaranteed. And if we fail, we will create the most unequal country this world has probably ever seen. Yeah, so for us, development management is a hugely important lever in India's journey to a Viksit Bharat and Amrit Kaal.
Gaurav, final word for you.
So the idea of mainstreaming development management is critical to create the kind of world that Ravi was just talking about. And we look at the mainstreaming of this profession and this discipline in the following manner. If you look, you know, historically, world-class, high-quality, aspirational higher ed institutions have played pivotal roles in creating new professions. And that's one of the reasons why ISDM has been set up as a higher ed institution. You'll also realize that most of these higher ed institutions have played the role of creating an entire ecosystem around this new profession. So if we need to mainstream the idea of development management as a new profession, as a new age profession and discipline, then we need to work over the next 20, 25 years to mainstream this idea in the imagination of youth. And over the next couple of decades, inspire millions of youth to consider lives and careers in the social sector and within that in development management, thereby ensuring a supply of good quality talent into this space. We also need to work with the social sector to build an understanding on why good quality management talent of a certain kind is needed if the sector is to deliver on its mandate of changing lives at scale. And thereby, we need to, we need to demonstrate proof of concept by creating stronger social sector organizations, which can deliver impact at scale, and through that generate demand for development management talent. And thirdly, and very, very importantly, no one institution can bring about change. And that's something I talked about earlier. So if this mainstreaming has to happen, there need to be many more higher educational institutions which are inspired by the journey of ISDM. And for them to be able to offer relevant programs in development management, it's important for all of us to start doing research, theorizing on that research, and catalyzing a publicly available, freely available body of knowledge with its own theories, own concepts, frameworks, toolkits, and over time, textbooks, which can be used to teach and learn development management at scale. Once that happens, development management talent will then be created at scale, which will then really help create the kind of world and kind of society that we all aspire towards and that the preamble of the Indian Constitution really talks about.
Very well said, both Ravi and Gaurav. Thank you so much for sharing your deep insights and perspective on a range of issues. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you, Gaurav. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Gaurav, for having us on the show.
Thank you so much.